Have you ever tried to be normal while always knowing you were different? Me too. Hello, you beautiful misfits. Okay, so I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a different perspective, maybe some questions, and maybe something different to play around with choice. We just did a Misfits Guide to Choice today, this three-hour class, and it was so cool. Some of the stuff that came up was blowing my world apart. But one of the things, and I've been looking at this quite a lot recently, is this energy of knowing when I'm actually resisting something. Like, for how many of you do you have those things in your world that you resist, but it's actually the thing that you need to choose that's going to create the most freedom and the most movement in your life? So kind of get a sense of that energy. And what would it be like if you started running towards it? Started getting a sense of that resistance in your world, kind of like that wincing away from it, or that just like, oh, I don't want to choose that. Knowing, you know, because we've talked about that thing of knowing that you actually know what's true for you. You actually know what's going to set you free. Well, let me ask you this. What would it be like if you started running towards it? What would open up in your world? And how much do we refuse choosing those things because they don't match the definition, or we can't define them the way that we would usually define something in order to maintain predictability or also our comfort zone? So, choice, you know, just choose it. Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to choose this shit today. I'm going to stop resisting it. I'm going to stop avoiding it. I'm actually going to choose it. The next question, which I think is so cool, was, what would my point of view be if I was truly having my point of view? And that one of the things I realized with that was that most of the times when we're actually unwilling to have our own point of view is when it's attached to something that we're unwilling to lose. You know, if you've got something, kind of get the sense of somebody or something. Let's start with somebody. Get the sense of somebody in your life that you're unwilling to lose. Might be in a relationship, could be family, could be something like that. How much do you not allow yourself to actually be that question and have your own point of view, because it might challenge the thing that would actually lose them from your point of view? What would it be like if you actually were willing to lose the things in your life that you can't, that you've decided you can't lose? Now, what does that mean? It's not necessarily yet. It's about getting rid of it. It's about losing the judgment that you have with it to maintain the connection. So once again, that question, what would my point of view be here if I was truly having my point of view? I am asking that with everything at the moment, because I realized for me, I had the same thing going on. Like, even with certain things in my life, like money, when you have that as a point of view with money that you're unwilling to lose it, how much are you not willing to have your point of view and what's true for you with regards to money in order to maintain that idea of, well, if I had that, then I might actually lose the money I have. Or if I have that, I might not be able to make as much as I usually make, or I may not be able to, see it the same way that I do, or once again, have it defined in the way that I have it defined. Well, what if once again, it's one of those things that you're resisting or avoiding that's going to be the thing that's actually going to create the most freedom in your world? I've got to say this again. Once again, we know. And you always know those things, which tends to be the reason we shy away from them. So once again, what would be your point of view here if you were truly having your point of view? Check that out. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, and now I can't remember what it was. So how does it get any better than that? You know, after a three-hour class, especially on choice, your brain can kind of go away a little bit. So I guess that's it. I guess that's going to be a quick little Misfits video, but how does it get any better than that? Please ask that question. Man, how cool. Like, what a discovery. What an awesome discovery to truly find out what your point of view is about stuff. Like, I wonder what your point of view is about money. If you truly had your point of view about money, I wonder what your point of view would be about you. That's a big one. I mean, how much do we avoid actually looking at that one, because we've decided our point of view about ourselves is one thing. You know, I know I've done this a lot throughout my life, where I've kind of had some interesting points of view about myself. But what I mean with this question also is, you as a being, what would truly be your point of view about you if you were to have that? Maybe that you're awesome. Maybe that you're actually unstoppable. Maybe that there's nothing that you actually have to resist and react against or align and agree with in order to have your point of view. Maybe that you don't have to kind of shy away from anything anymore. And maybe choosing those things that you keep resisting are actually going to open those things up in your world and kind of show you that you have a lot more courage than you've been giving yourself credit for, but also a lot more creativity, a lot more of a sense of those things in your world that light you up. So, my beautiful friends, I hope this was a contribution. How does it get better than this? Till next time, bye-bye.
What's up, warriors? Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Saturday Night Soul Session live with me, LC, and my good friend and guest tonight, Mr. Brendan Watt. You just saw him speaking truth right there. We're going to talk about everything tonight. We're going to catch up with Brendan. I hope that you watched last week's replay of our first interview, but tonight we're going to talk about what's been going on in Brendan's life. We're going to talk about what's true for you, discovering what's true for you, discovering what's true, what Brendan has discovered is true for him. And it just goes to show you that we are constantly and consistently always evolving in this conscious recovery journey. And none of us are immune from our past beliefs and our past selves. And no matter what, no matter if you're a best-selling author, an international speaker, a access consciousness facilitator, we're all going through life and we're all growing through life. So I hope that you are here and ready for this amazing conscious recovery talk with Mr. Brendan Watt. If you all are ready, I'm ready. He's ready. So let's go. What's up, Brendan? Welcome back.
Hey, my friend. How are you? Podcast.
Man, I'm just super excited to have you back and be in here. And our pre-start conversation is just, man, it's always divine when you're here.
Oh, man, that is mutual. You know, I've been looking forward to this. I loved our last chat, and it's just, I love what you're doing too, so.
Oh man. So catch us up. I hope that everyone who's watching now, if you didn't see last week's replay of our original conversation, I think we've established it was probably around in 2021. Go back and watch that, because I want to pick us up where Brendan Watt is today, what's going on, how Brendan Watt's growing today, man. So start us off. What's been going on in your world?
Oh, man, it's a little different today, I tell you. Well, it's like, you know, last time we talked, I was on my recovery, you know, journey, but it wasn't really, you know. And it's interesting that in that video that you played there about looking at, you know, what's your point of view and what's your point of view about you. And at that point, you know, I still had so much stuff that I didn't want to look at. And it just, you know, I didn't want to get the help that I knew I needed. And last year it all blew up in March, you know, and then I basically, for me, I hit a point where I was like, okay, am I actually gonna choose something different? Like, am I actually gonna go on this journey for me and actually do it for me? You know, because that was the other thing too. It was, I had all of these things in my life that I was still like, well, these things are all still more important than wanting to look at what's actually true for me. Mm. And so I basically, you know, I relapsed with alcohol, but like, you know, and I did it well.
Yeah, we always do.
I did it, you know, I did it well. Yeah. I, you know, yeah. The fireworks went off. And, yeah. You know, and this time it was very public also, which was an interesting thing for me. Like we sent out an email to the whole database just saying, you know, Brendan's taking a break and you've probably all seen he's had problems with alcohol his whole life. But I put a thing out on social media, you know, and went, I'm taking 3 months break. I've had, you know, this issue with alcohol my whole life. And now it's time to really deal with it. So it was, one of the things, it was interesting. One of the things that was hardest for me at the time was this image of me that I'd tried to put forward was basically I couldn't hold it up anymore. Everyone could see underneath it. So it was this raw experience of vulnerability with myself, but also with the world and just going, okay, can I actually show up and get through this? Like, can I handle that amount of projections from people? Can I handle that amount of judgment from people? And the other thing was, do I see myself as enough to get through this?
As you were just, you know, as you were talking just now, said that about, you know, being so out front, I was writing, you know, what was it like to relapse so publicly? Because, you know, pretty much you had, like, there was this image of you, which was probably a very true version of you. But yet again, now that version of you, I think when it's time for us to level up into the next version of ourselves, there it always seems to come with like a shakeup, almost where things fall apart. So, you know, that had to be like super, like that really had to weigh on you. I mean, you've touched on what it was like, but you know, what was it really, really like to make that decision? Like, oh my gosh, do I just expose myself? Because it's one thing for people to see it, but it's another thing for you to take off the, you know, the mask and step into it. What were those days like?
Hard, really hard, you know, and, but that was the thing I was at a point where I basically, I wasn't sugarcoating it for myself. You know, I had a conversation with a friend and he said, look, this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done.
Amen.
And, you know, and don't look for the easy path. And one of the things he said to me, and this was Gary Douglas, you mentioned him before, but he's, you know, he's just someone in my life who he's always been there for me and won't, you know, it's not about being there for me and coddling me. Like he was, he had the hammer on my head through this. And, you know, one of the things, which I'm so grateful for, one of the things he said to me was, he said, look, if you're looking for the easy choices right now, you are on the wrong path. If you're choosing the hard stuff right now, then you're actually going in the right direction. So I took that and I went, okay, so see, because I knew it would be easier to kind of recoil and separate from it all and, you know, and go into massive amounts of judgment of myself and make everybody else's judgments real and, you know, just all the shit that we do. But what I had to do was I had to really learn to rely on myself and also rely on the universe and just be like, okay, this hurts. This really hurts right now. And there were days where it's like, man, I'm like, in all honesty, there was pain there that was like, whew. But once again, I just had to be present. I got really present with myself and just tried to stop looking for the big choice that was going to get me out of it and just, okay, I got 10 seconds. What am I going to choose now? I got 10 more seconds. What am I going to choose now?
That's profound. And it hits in so many different ways in different people's lives and different levels of their lives, because, you know, I think that And I noticed that about Gary Douglas, by the way, even in watching your interview, I can realize that that this man is not here to help you continue a facade within yourself. He's here to, you know, like it's through love that he's going to hit you in the head with the hammer. And that's so valuable in this type of journey, for sure. Yeah.
True story. Sure. And that's like, I mean, that's what I value. That's what I would like to show up more as in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where
I was thinking that when I was watching it too.
And the way that he can do that, and I just he's just such a phenomenal being, is the way that he can do that is he has that with himself.
You
know, he doesn't have walls and barriers to the world. He doesn't have judgments of himself. So it allows him to basically walk into somebody else's world and see where you have the judgments of you. And you know, that's like seeing something like that, being even having an awareness of when you see that in somebody else, there's somewhere in yourself that you have that too, or you couldn't even see it.
That's so true, man. That is so, so true. I've been on that type of a journey this year where it's trying to see what's mirroring back to me, even though it's hard to see. Easy to see in someone else. Sometimes it's harder to look at yourself.
True story.
Yeah, it really, really is. Well, how now, like, when did you start to come to a place of like gratitude for it? Because as we know, like people in many different stages of their recovery journey or awakening journey or healing journey watch the show. And so when did it, because before we came on live, we were kind of talking about how grateful we were that we are, that we're at a space where we can see that it becomes a gift. How long in this, because you've got what, 16 months right now in this conscious recovery? And conscious recovery to me, that translates into like a couple years, because it's a different journey than just clean and sober and trying to fix all this other stuff in your life so that staying clean and sober seems to become easier, you know, but that healing journey is something way different. So how did you get to that place where you started to be able to see the gift of it? Because it's the gift of you. Like, it's awakening something in you because there's more light for you to share.
Yeah, I would say, probably 12 months, like until I could really start. It's probably only been the last, four months or so that I've really started liking myself. You know, that I kind of had a lot more ease with letting go of it. And one of the things that in the beginning was really difficult was actually knowing that I chose it. You know, I could have went, oh, well, alcoholism's a disease, and, you know, and it's like, and it sneaks up on you, and, you know, and I could have, that's true. It does. And it is. But I chose it, you know, and until I took full ownership of it, and also took full ownership of what I'd chosen with regards to where I'd chosen things that were really against who I would like to be, you know, like where I'd chosen unkindness, where I'd chosen judgments, where I'd chosen, you know, just things that were not, you know, me not being me, not being at least who I would like to be. And so those were part of the things that I had to look at and go, okay, I need to get a lot more honest with myself. And as I've built that, you know, I've started liking me, you know. And then it's like, you can make your life about the money, and you can make it about the image, you can make it about the relationship, you can make it about the fame or whatever, but if you don't have a relationship with yourself, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah It's just shaky foundation. It has no choice but to fall apart at some point. You know, it just does. You can't do it like that. I mean, and truly get to the place where you feel like you can, you know, stand on your own two feet and know what is really, really true for you. And I think that's, you know, that whole 12 months, unfortunately, I think that it's not by intention, but sometimes we're within a culture, a recovery culture, where we recoil from triggers. And, you know, and I think that what I have found that is true for me is that when I stopped recoiling and started asking the questions of, you know, okay, so what are you here to show me? Like, you know, when you become, you raise your level of consciousness, you become quite aware. And so you can kind of sometimes see those things in you. So I hear you when you say, you know, having to take that responsibility for knowing that it was you chose this, you know, like I chose this, because at a certain point of awareness, you're right, the excuses just don't work anymore.
True
you know,
story.
You can say them, but they don't land, and they don't land anywhere within you.
Yeah, exactly. And that thing of, that was one of the things that I used to do too, would be recoil from anything that would trigger me, you know, or avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's one of the things that I like to look at with my journey now is anything that can trigger me is a gift in going beyond that trigger.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm not going to deal with it now, I'm eventually going to have to deal with it. So why not deal with it now? You know?
Yeah.
And especially as someone in, you know, someone in recovery, and especially as someone who really desires to nurture their sobriety, it's like, that's where you begin to build those muscles, you know, and you begin to build that so that it's, see, because the only thing that, the only reason anything can trigger us is if we have some charge on it. You know, we have some judgment with it. So for me, it's like, for me, one of my, like, I like to look at it and go, man, imagine if I could live my life and be in total allowance of everything, you know, allow everything to show up the way that it is. And that was one of the things that I think is valuable in AA is the serenity prayer.
Yeah.
You know, have the serenity to accept the things that you cannot change. And change the things that you can is basically, for me, it was that thing that I said about the easy choice and the hard choice, you know, because it's not easy to change the things that you can.
No, no, it's not. It's so much easier to blame the things you can't,
you know,
and to hang on to those. There's no responsibility in that. And we can never heal something we refuse to look at. And so, you know, I completely resonate with the, you know, looking at the trigger and asking that deeper question. Okay, instead of trying to bat you away or keep myself sensitive, and I get that to an extent when you're in the space of just, you know, white knuckling, trying not to use in those first, you know, months. That's why I think when you said like the 12 months is very profound, because it seems like a lot of that first, those first months, that first year is like this knockdown drag out with fighting against just going back to that old space. And so when you can be in a place of allowance, I think that's why we share. Like, that's one of the reasons why I want to share, because instead of waiting, you know, and white knuckling through things or avoiding things for 3 years, like I did in my recovery journey, if you can start doing this as soon as your body is safe, you know, like as soon as you're in a safe space where, you know, like you're not physically sick, you know, anymore, you've kind of gotten over that and you can have a space and maybe you've built some support, then you can begin to lean into those things, because they're only really truly trying to help you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to be, that is a very good point. It's like, if you're in your first 3 to 6 months of recovery, you don't want to be running at the things that you don't need to run at, you know. Take it easy on yourself. Yeah. And that was another thing I had to learn was kindness for me. Like, I've abused myself my whole life. I've been the biggest abuser of me. And I'm pretty sure everyone listening has been the biggest abuser of themselves. And it's like, so to learn how to have like intimacy with yourself is, that's a valuable thing too. Like, to really like who you are, to care for you, but care for your body as well. Like, we abuse the shit out of our bodies in addiction and in all of these. But you don't even need to be in, you know, with alcohol or drugs to be someone abusing your body. It's like we judge them constantly.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what did that look like for you? Like, how did you kind of begin starting to care and nurture you and your sobriety? Like, what did that intimacy with yourself kind of look like for you?
Like I said before, that thing of really that, you know, knowing I had 10 seconds was really slowing down and getting really present with the thoughts in my head, you know, the judgments that I had, getting really present with the way that I saw myself, you know, getting just present and being there with it. And kind of like, I don't know, the best way I can kind of describe it energetically is being with myself the way I would be with a little baby, you know, being with myself the way that I would be with something that I truly desired to nurture. And, you know, I had to, that was a learning thing when you've been used to using, treating yourself like a football, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember getting home from, cause I was in Mexico and Costa Rica, 12 days of basically oblivion. And I remember getting home and just go, it all just hit, it all just sunk in. And, you know, I was talking to these, rehab clinics and stuff, looking at going into that. And they wanted, you know, I'm not a US citizen. They wanted a lot of money. And I went, okay, can I do this on my own? I was like, yep. But I knew I did a lot of AA, right? I did probably, I think like 120 at least meetings in 3 months. But one of the interesting things was I had my trainer that I'd worked with at the gym here in Houston. And I called him a few days into sobriety when my body had just started calming down, and I was like, hey, I gotta talk to you about this. And, you know, I said, this is what's going on. And he was like, hey, come in, let's get you moving. And it was so interesting how this is not a guy that I would usually think would have been that interested in, you know, caring for me in that way, but he did in his way. And he's one of the people I in those first few months have a lot of gratitude for. Like, he just he would make me laugh, you know, he'd just lighten it up. And plus the other thing that helped was he knew. He knew I was an alcoholic. He knew that I'd just done what I'd done. He knew where I was at. I didn't hide it from him. I'd walk in there some days crying to the gym. You know, and he's like, all right, let's go. You know, I was like, okay, good. I'm being pathetic.
Those things are important. And something I found really, really important that you said as well, when, you know, you're calling all the rehabs and just nothing's there, you know? So in my case, like, I couldn't afford to go to rehab. Like, a lot, you know, you have no insurance, you have none of that stuff. Most of us don't have any money coming straight in there. And so it was about, I'm so ready to get into this that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So if it's 120 meetings, I'm going to be in a meeting every time there is an available seat for my ass to hit, because this is what I know that I need, like in building that support and getting honest with people. You know, like, I understand for a lot of people, and for myself, it was true at two, but you've got to try to build that support network. And when the excuses no longer work, like there's no money, nobody, there's no rehab, we'll take all this other stuff. You got to do what you got to do. You got to scrap for your life. Like, you know, we scrap when we're in there, scrap for your life.
That is more true than I wanted to believe at the time but knowing you really got to fight for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't willing to do that before. And I realized going into this one, I was like, wow, there's been a level of pain and discomfort that I've just not been willing to go through. And I knew if I was going to get to something different this time, I was going to have to go through the flames, you know. Yeah. But it was funny too. I remember with calling those rehab places, I had this guy from one of them call me for probably 6 months every few days and just check in on me. And I was like,
wow.
It was people would show up like that. And as I began to be more vulnerable with myself, people would just show up like that and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm doing.
That's the beautiful thing to me about the recovery community. It reminds me of a guy that I just think is a beautiful human being. His name is J.R. Weaver, and he works at a Costa Rica center. And it just sounds like something that a guy like that would do. You know what I mean? Like people that are walking through this path understand how important it is to, you know, to just stay connected with somebody, even when the word, like, you can't make it happen or come here. Like, there's genuine people, and you find them in this recovery community, in this journey, because we understand the battle, you know?
Yeah. And I think the more you can recognize that support is there, but also that you're going to have to learn how to really walk on your own two feet, you know, with it, where it's, because that's an interesting line where it's about making it where it really is up to you, but then up to you and separating from everyone else going, okay, I have to deal with this. That's not really going to work. It's also, okay, it's up to me, but I'm also going to include everything that can be a contribution to it. Because I knew, I mean, for me, one of the things that I had been great at my whole life was isolating. You know, it's like, get me away from people. Like, just, I just want to crawl into my own little hole and, you know, hole of self-destruction. And I don't want to deal with people, but it's like, what I didn't want to deal with was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really the truth. That's what it really comes down to, is just don't want to deal with you. Yeah. It's wild. So what are you doing for yourself? Like now, like how are you walking through your days different on this healing journey versus, you know, say the past when you've, you know?
Now more so, you know, I started traveling a lot again this year and facilitating classes and creating, you know, different stuff. And I would say for me, it's been working on myself every day. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a day where I'm not calling myself out on something, but it's not just calling myself out on something, congratulating myself on something, being grateful for myself for something. Cause that's what I'd done in the past. I was so hard on myself. Now it's like, my basic point of view about myself is becoming a lot more about how much I like myself, you know? And if something comes up where it's like, oh, that really didn't make me feel any better. It's like, okay, so what is that? And just being present with it once again and looking at it and dealing with it, and without the judgment though.
Yeah.
You know, but also, yeah, that's getting present with yourself and recognizing when you do actually have those judgments, you know, and getting out of it. Like, just, you know, what's that? Judgment is only good for destroying us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And that's all it will do, you know? So getting to allowance of yourself can be such a gift. And, you know, one of the things it's like, you know, like if you have, somebody else might have a judgment of you, you know, and it's like, you can either basically align and agree with that judgment, or you can resist and react to that judgment, but they seem to be your only two choices. Rather than, okay, what if they're just allowed to have that judgment because they're allowed to have that judgment?
Yeah.
You know, and what if it didn't actually have to be something anymore that you had to take serious and recognize that nothing's personal either in this journey?
Yeah. Keep talking about that. Say more about that.
Well, I think for a lot of us, definitely for those of us who kind of been sensitive your whole life, which, you know, it's kind of like, the world around me is harsh, you know, like, give me alcohol, give me drugs, get me away from it. You know, it's everything that comes at you seems as if it's this personal attack. And for most of us, what we do is we create this like insular universe to get away from it. You know, and we might think of ourselves as selfish creatures, or you might think of yourself as narcissistic, or, you know, but what you've really done is you've created this universe that you go to escape your awareness of the world around you, thinking that it's coming at you as some personal attack. And, you know, and we do that with abuse as well. I grew up with a lot of abuse and a lot of bullying through school and just abusive people. And I still am dealing with this part where it's like, I'll take something really personal and I'll be like, it's, you know, like, what did I do? Why am I not enough? Like, and I'll go straight into that self-judgment again, rather than look at it and go, the only reason first of all, the thing with abuse is the only reason people abuse is to get power over. And for anyone to desire power over, they've already decided you have more power. You know, it's not about a personal attack. It's just you're the easiest. You're the target that's there at the time. And so if we can get out of that, that's a, you know, big help in getting out of the wrongness of you. And also when people judge, recognizing, oh, yeah, they judge. Good. Cool.
Yeah.
They're only trying to control me. I could be an allowance of that. You know, what if every judgment was, what if every judgment everyone had of me and every judgment I had of me was just an interesting point of view? Didn't actually have to mean anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's an amazing point of view and a great way to put it. That's just beautiful. I've been going through a lot of that this year, you know, as being who I am in a world right now. And it's like, I find myself when people begin to, you know, talk about certain things, like I can feed into that. And especially if I find it super, super tough when I'm emotionally and physically like exhausted. The worst thing I can do in those moments is like, say, open up social media and start to hear or flip past the news or just hear something on the radio. Those are the hardest times for me to like emotionally regulate. So I make this point in my life, in my recovery, my healing journey to have a non-negotiable on those things. Like I don't do those things at certain times of the day that I am more tended to be like that, but it's so easy to feel attacked. And sometimes we get so far into the, you know, into the frame that we can't even see the picture. So I think what you just shared is beautiful in a lot of ways and very helpful.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a good point. I'm glad you said that, because that thing that we talked about before with the not avoiding basically the things that set off your trigger, that also doesn't mean actively seeking them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I see, like, if you look at social media, because I'm the same, I can be like, if I'm having space and then I'm like, it's not even a cognitive thought. But for me, one of the things I realized for me was that heaviness, that even abuse was a much more comfortable energy for me to deal with than liking myself.
Yeah.
Abuse is far more familiar to me than actually having space and a sense of gratitude, you know? So not even cognitively, you will choose towards that which matches your point of view about yourself. This is where, like, if you're going to on the journey of basically just on the journey of life, we don't even have to go on just recovery with that, but it's like, it's about actively creating it, you know, going, oh, social media fucking tweaks me. All right, cool. I'm, you know, I'm not going on that right now. I'm not going to do that to myself because I value me.
That part is
vital, is really recognizing that you're actively creating. You're actively creating these things that show up in your world. And I know, like I said, for me, it's like I would get to this sense of like peace in my world. And then it would be not even a cognitive choice with it, but something would show up. I would choose something to take me straight out of it. And then I go, oh my God, what happened? Yeah. But I would be far more comfortable, even though I wouldn't, even though I would, it would appear that I didn't want to be there. It was a far more familiar energy to me.
It certainly is. And then even if you are aware of it and aware of the difference in the energies and how they feel, sometimes you start to create a judgment for yourself about getting into it. Like I can lend myself to that uncomfortable, very judgmental energy very easy. And sometimes people call it, and I've called it venting or you know, venting after. Venting one time is one thing, but if you're continuing to complain about the same problems and the same people, it just becomes like this pattern of habit, and it's no longer venting once you can take action towards creating a different life, a different whole scenario. But then I would find myself be in those moments of weakness, and I'd lend into it, and then I'd be start to beat myself up even more over going, you know better than this. Like, why did you get yourself in? Why did you even say that? Now you've opened up all of this. You've ignited someone else's energy. Now it's on. And, you know, it's going to spend the next 4 hours trying to raise my energy back up and get myself, you know, back in a kind of an alignment. So there is so much self-judgment that goes into, I think, all of this. You said it correctly, not just recovery.
Well, yeah. And that thing too, because I know where I've done that a lot through my life, is like you basically get to a sense of space and then boom, and then you do it again. And then boom. And that's like, it's like, that's why what my life looked like was this, you know, it was and you know, I'm a little bit extreme. I do get that, but it's like, but it didn't, you know, it was all about getting basically to a level of what I'd decided I couldn't be, you know, or I wasn't, I didn't even have to reason and justify it. I basically would just get to something that I couldn't control.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would have to destroy it. And the thing I said before about like getting out of judgment and having allowance is like that thing of everything is just an interesting point of view. So if the world around you can come at you and you're like, wow, okay, interesting point of view. I have this point of view with this, rather than have to resist and react to it or align and agree with it. One of the things I learned is that if somebody comes at me with a point of view, and I align and agree with it, or I resist and react to it, then not only am I stuck in that point of view also, but they are too.
Yeah. Mm.
And so my accepting their point of view, basically aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting to it, hasn't only locked me up, it's locked them up.
Absolutely.
When I realize that with stuff like that, I'm like, wow, that is a lot of power. And like, if you can, because we all look at, we all have this idea of what it takes to change the world, and that, you know, like that right there is change you, that changes our world. And that's all we can do is you change you. And then it's like, and the world around you begins to open up in different ways as well. And I think that's the other thing that I'm starting to see now is the magic is starting to be in my life again. That's kind of been missing in action for a long time. And not to the degree that, see, because I guess I always had the I always had the point of view about, like, you know, magic and miracles too, that it'd have to show up in some grand and magical way. But it's like, no, liking myself is a miracle.
Absolutely. And it just feels like this roller coaster sometimes. And that, and you said, you made a point about, you know, making a point to also congratulate yourself and focus on all of the accomplishments. I think like, even when you start to become aware of it. So even though, you know, you may still be doing the bounce, you know, the moments that you can kind of become aware of it and, you know, not either, you know, just be with it. And I think that's important too. Like in what we're talking about, it's so important, I think, to also be kind of aware of your awareness and just be able to accept that, oh, I see that. Like, I see that now, because before I would just bounce. Now I see that and have some sort of, you know, showing up for yourself in your life.
Totally. And you know, the other thing is you got to learn how to relax.
Yes.
You know, take a chill pill. And it's like, because there is never going to be a day where you're going to reach the summit of, you know, of enlightenment. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. You're never going to get to a day where you don't desire more and you don't desire to grow more. But that doesn't mean that we don't get to that by judging what we don't have. We get to that by being grateful for what we do have. Be grateful for that. And you know, and your life begins to expand. Because one of the things I heard Gary Douglas actually say this on a call a few weeks ago, when he said, anywhere that you're looking to what you don't have, you're back into the limitations of basically of this reality. You're back into the cesspool. And I was like, you know, I've heard stuff like that forever, but you hear things at a certain point, or when they just the stars are aligned, you know. And it's like, and it's just like, oh, I get that, because it's like you look to what you don't have, or you look to what's not working in your life. All you're doing is creating more of the shit.
Without a doubt.
That's the other thing, actually. That's the other thing I've learned. Well, you know, been a lot more present with, and is really looking to what I would like my life to be like, energetically, just like really looking at, you know, what I would like that to be like. What would that include? And putting my attention to that, not putting my attention to what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's vital. That's the magic that starts to become the magic. Yeah. When you said that, when you quoted that Gary Douglas, it hit me like right. Like I felt it just go down straight and hit me in the gut, because it's so simple, and yet it comes at a time that's just perfect in your life. And there's the magic, there's the magic.
I could write a book on the one-liners that man has given me over the past 13 years. You know, another thing he said to me that you'll probably like was probably 2 years ago. It was in that 7 months of sobriety that I was just struggling in. You know, and he knew that he could see the wheels coming off. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, you know, if you actually started choosing what was true for you, if you started living a life that was true for you, your life would take off in ways that you cannot imagine. And at the time, I couldn't really hear it. And it's only been recently that I've been like, wow, every time I choose that, which makes me lighter. You know, the thing we talk about in Access is a lie will make you heavier. What's true for you will always make you lighter. And so the more I choose that, the more things just open up. You know, the universe is there to provide that which is true. And so it's like, you know, it was another one of those things that he said to me that I'm just like, okay, I'm starting to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just takes that one thing to just help shift that focus. You know, my whole recovery journey has been about shift your focus.
Totally.
But even what we're talking about now, there's just always a different degree to it. You know, like there is not a destination. That is a false narrative that's been given somewhere by school. Graduate and you'll have this or whatever. I don't know where it comes from, but we think that there's this plateau that we're going to get to, and I haven't found it.
No.
I hope I don't.
I'm going to just stop looking, I think. But
I know.
I remember the guys in I remember in my first few weeks or few months in AA meetings, and I remember the guys that would come in there and they would have 30 plus years sobriety, right? And I remember they'd be like, in when they'd talk, they'd be like, hey, you, they'd talk about how with having less time sobriety is I can't remember how they said it, but basically they were like, you guys are my heroes, you know, because I have to look at, they don't get complacent with it either. Yeah. You know, it's not that, it's not like, oh, I'm going to get to 30 years sobriety and then I just switch off. No, I know that even if I get to 30 years sobriety, I have one drink, I'm back to the cesspool.
Right. Like there's no way that it's not going to go that way. There's no way just to get in there and do it a little bit. And I think that lifelong sobriety thing used to scare me when I was trying to just be clean and sober. It scared the shit out of me, because I thought there's no way I can just hold all this off, you know, for 30 years. Like that's unthinkable to me. But in that whole walking through this healing, and I'm so grateful again that you came at this time to share with us what's been going on with you, man, like for real, because it's just a massive and amazing time. I'd like to be able, you know, to even say to you that it's a perfect kind of timing for you to be healing yourself in this way, when addiction rates are up and people are dying in far, I mean, just too much. We're just losing too many people, and accepting that the world has changed. It is not the same place where you experiment with a lot of substances these days. This could be very, very dangerous. So to be able to share about stuff like what we're talking about now and what we'll continue to talk about in this time, I think is just valuable. It's very valuable. So, yeah, you know, thank you for having the courage to heal yourself, because that's what heals out.
And it's been a journey, but that's another, you know, acknowledgement in my world now is it's not the healing that I have to get to the finish line of. It's like, this is the way I like to live now. It's like,
yeah,
what else, you know, what else is possible, and not look for that instant gratification or that when am I going to, you know, get to some point of, you know, it's getting present and enjoying each moment, not expecting something different in the next.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things that brought me down big time was always be about, okay, how's this going to be tomorrow and next week and then next month? And, you know, and how am I going to control this? And how's this going to show up? And how are they going to think about me? And are they going to like me? And is that going to, you know, it was all this always trying to create this presumption about the future we've even got there. Other than just going, okay, I'm here. What's up? What's happening? Yeah. What are we doing? You
know? Yeah, it's so much lighter, and if it's easy to get caught in that early part of, you know, mindset transformation, and there's all of this about motivation, and there's all of this stuff, and it's always all about the future, and it feels real good in the beginning because it's something new, and you start to kind of see little magical things happen, but it can quickly take over you, to the point that it becomes almost its own addiction. And that when you get to that place of just desire all the time, it is a heavy, heavy, very, you know, anxious energy. And so to stop and just say, geez, I don't want to try to manifest my future anymore. Like, let me just sit back and be here now, because you're not here now.
Yeah.
It's a trap. It can be a trap.
Totally, you know, and it's that constant desire to escape the present, to escape yourself. You know, let me put my head in the future and think about that. It's like, right, the choices that you're making right now are going to create that future. So it's getting more present with the energetics as well, I would say.
Yes.
You know, so rather than the, I want a future with, you know, what, like the things, you know, the amount of money, the relationships, the, you know, all the different things that we put in place. It's like, well, get a sense of having that in your life right now. What is that energetically for you?
Right.
And unless it's light making your world, just like where you're like, oh my goodness, that's just amazing. Unless it's like that, start looking at, I would say to people, start looking for the things like that. Like one of the things, so I got a wow list, right?
And like that.
A wow list is basically something that you just put down the things where it would just be like, wow, if that showed up in my life, wow, you know, and get the energy of what that would be like. So you can start pulling that energy into your world. One of the things I have on my wow list now is to fly a plane.
Wow.
And I was, because I always wanted to as a kid, right? But then it just seemed like an impossibility. It's like getting a pilot license, that would be impossible. I was recently in Colombia talking to this guy who just did it. And he's like, no, it's actually pretty easy. So I've actually got a lesson booked in Houston in this week, you know, and I was on the phone with them today and they're talking about it. And I'm like, the things that we tend to, they won't even come into our radar because we've already excluded them as impossibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'd say for people, start including those things, like start creating that generative energy in your world again, where it's like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think it's important to say it's not about just imagine happening the things. It's also about finding where the energy of that already exists in your life as well. Totally. You know, because it's really about the energies meeting, because whatever thing it is we want is because how it makes us feel. It's not really about the thing. It's about what we think or judge that it's going to do for us. So where does that already exist? You know, like where does that feeling already exist in your world? It's amazing.
Well, and that's how you begin to have this. This is how you begin to create your future, is like if you get a sense of different things, and I've talked about this in a lot of different videos and stuff like that. It's a bit of a longer process to go into, but basically if you begin to get a sense of these, sense of what you would like your future to be like, and you recognize that, recognize in your life now where you choose the things that match that energy, you know, because that's you going in that direction, but also recognize where you're choosing what doesn't match it. And that's the thing for me that I had to get really present with, was recognizing where I was making the choices that were my future is here, the one I truly desire to create, making the choices that were taking me off around the mountains, you know, in the other direction. But get it, just this is another part of that thing, is of acknowledging that you do actually know, you know, we do know when we go to make a choice, if it's going to turn out like total shit, we make it anyway, because we've all done it and gone, oh, I knew that was not going to work.
On a daily basis, man. On a daily basis.
Totally. I hear you.
Yeah. It's such an amazing journey, man. I think this whole thing is just, it just becomes a gift, because what the gift gives you is your possibilities. And when you grow up, like a lot of us have grown up in abuse and a lot of bullying and feeling like not enough, when you start to realize the possibilities that are truly like within you to create and live an entirely different life, it just becomes like that's how I believe it came. It becomes the gift. That's how it became the gift to me. Cause I thought, wow, if I'd have never had that, then I would never have gotten the opportunity to even step into recovery. So if none of that ever happened, then I would never, you know, maybe I would have never gotten to this place, you know, and really like myself, you know. It's a wild journey, and it does become a gift.
How cool is that though? Like, it's like, how many people can you honestly talk to that have that point of view about them? I don't know. I know a lot of people, and I don't know, you know, like an extreme amount who are like, yeah, I just think I'm awesome, you know, but not from, but having it from their point of view about them, not that, yeah, I'm awesome, let me prove it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's where that's where, you know, I would have done more in the past, because my point, we always prove we're the opposite of what we've decided we are or what we judge ourselves as. So it's like, when you can take the proving out of it also, how much more energy do you have to create your life?
Yeah.
You know, so you could just even show up on social media and just be like, I have no idea who I am today. Hello. You know, like whatever. But it's like, but it's not this, well, I was this person yesterday, so now I need to, like, that's just what destroys us, is this constant need to be validated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the creating of these new identities in hopes, you know, that the approval will come, you know,
a lot of work.
Just create. It is. It's so much work. It is so much work. You know, when we actually discover authentically who we are at our core, not what we identify as, but what is at our core, and that we are just sovereign beings with so much great potential within us. That will almost, I guess, prove itself to you once you relax and just kind of let it be, and then be, you know, grateful for the journey, even the hardship. And that's hard to be in the moment, grateful for the hardship. But if you have an awareness that, hey, life is working for me, like regardless of what my perception or judgment of this circumstance is, life is working for me. Am I being? I know. Life is working for me. So relax.
Yeah, relax. And never give in, never give up, and never quit. Never quit. And question everything.
Do it.
You know, that's the other thing, is question everything and know that, you know, I said that thing before of, if you're looking to what's not working, you're going to be back in the shit. Is if you're not in a question, you're going to be back in the shit too, because you've already come to some conclusion. So it's like, question, what, you know, four of the questions that we have in Access that you can ask with anything is, what is this? What do I do with it? Can I change it? And if so, how do I change it? You know, and then, because it's not about finding the right question either. It's about constantly being in a state of question.
Right. Because to have the answer to the question is the judgment.
Exactly.
And the judgment, you know, and always gets you.
Isn't it interesting that that's what we're all taught? Find an answer. It's like,
yeah,
dude, we're taught some crazy shit, I tell you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's the other thing is this whole journey is an unlearning of all of that. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Access too, is it's not about, okay, we're going to go on a journey to find you. It's about, hey, you're already you. Let's give you access to the consciousness that you already are.
Yeah, man. I really can't wait. I mean, that's, I want us to talk a little bit about Access, because I really can't wait to do it. You know, back after we had our session, you know, I hooked up with a lady that was close to us. And then I don't remember what ended up happening on both of our ends, but we never got together. And I think that it's coming back up again, because I think I'm really, really ready for it at this time. And I'm so like prepared in every way, you know, to be able to do that. So talk to us, for those that might be watching that haven't seen our first video, but talk to us about Access Consciousness and that process and what it's like and done for you.
Well, it's basically, you know, Access is about empowering people to know what they know. So it's based on getting people to be the question, you know. So there's a lot of questions and tools and modalities, I mean, tools and processes and different things, but it's like, it's the only thing that I've ever done. It's the only thing for me that's worked so quickly and allowed, but also it's been about, it's not been about, here's the answer, here's what you have to do. It's, it makes you reach for what it is that you know. You know, it makes you, it gives you the tools to actually create a life that only you can create, you know, because each and every one of us, we're unique and we still try and follow some structured path. It doesn't exist. All you can do is, if you're looking for a path, is if you're following your past. That's it. You're trying to create something based on what you've already chosen. And this is really creating a life of more consciousness, you know, more of you as the infinite being that you are. And it's just, man, I cannot tell you that the gift that it's been for me in my life. And what I'm looking at, creating, pondering in my world at the moment is something where it's, it really has this stuff with addiction, which for me, I see AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, as something that is so valuable. You know, it's, I couldn't have got sober without it. And I see so many people resist it and be like, no, I'll do it on my own. And then they fail. I'm like, I've been there, done that many times. Don't worry about it. I've tried it. You know, but it's, it doesn't necessarily teach you how to create your life. So, you know, so having that thing of, hey, here's the 12 steps with recovery. Here's that 12 steps that dealing with that stuff. But then here's also stuff that you can create a phenomenal life where you can actually thrive, you know, and enjoy the hell out of yourself. Like,
right. It doesn't have to be like that really drudge through old type of paradigm about it. No. I was reaching back to find, you know, Peg O'Connor's book. Peg O'Connor wrote a book called Higher and Friendly Powers, and it is, she took the philosophy, she's a philosopher, she took the philosophy of William James, which was who Bill W. wrote, you know, that was who he read and inspired the 12 steps in AA. So she took that, but he used a God, a Christian type God. It had a lot of Christian in it. So a lot of people were always resistant because of that. So she rewrote Higher and Friendly Powers directly from the philosophy of William James, which didn't have that. And so there's something for it. Like, everybody, it's an amazing book. It's at pegoconnorauthor.com. It's an amazing book for people that have that aversion to the God, you know, the Christian God language, and just embrace the process, embrace, you know, another philosophy, but the process. So, you know, I was looking for it to try to.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my higher power has always been, you know, the universe. And, but it's like, I had that as a kid, you know, I could look out there and be like, you know, like just fascinated with the universe. But it's like, and then we try and create ourselves as this separate item, thinking that's the way that we're going to create our lives. Right. I found is the more I'm willing to be inclusive of everything, the greater everything is. So it's like,
absolutely,
it really is about, it's an unlearning of who you think you are. You know, I remember another thing that Gary Douglas said years ago was he said, everything that I thought was real and true, I found out to be, with access, I found out to be either a lie or an implant. And I went, holy shit, that is so true. And it's like, over the years, I've started to find that as real and true for me as well. Everything that I thought was actually real and true about me was just more of that facade, that image. It wasn't actually me as a being and what's valuable to me as a being, which would be more gratitude.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, would be more vulnerability. It would be more, it would be more honor, would be more trust. It would be more of the things that, you know, be more of the energetics like that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be about, how many followers do I have on social media and who likes me? You know, it's
right. What? Absolutely.
But we still do that shit. It's like, we're crazy.
I know, because the unlearning to me has been harder than the learning or the opening. It's the unlearning and realizing what an attachment that I had to those things, even though I thought I didn't. There was still like this interwoven attachment. So it's almost like surgery, trying, you know, when really starting to see where those things are like, okay. Yeah. You know, like I didn't even realize they existed.
And I've got to send you this thing that we have in the back of one of our manuals. It's this thing by Larry Little. It's just a one page thing, and it sums up what we're talking about so well. Basically, the unweaving of polarity, the unweaving of judgment, you know, and it talks about how it may be one of the toughest things that you've ever taken on, but it's definitely, it's worth it, because you get to have you.
So, yeah. So yeah. I think that you creating a coexisting access in a recovery space. And I think that would be just amazing. I think it would be so helpful in that space.
Yeah. Because that was what I, you know, as a seeker of this world, as someone who I see so many of us are that are in recovery, that was the part that I see missing. Like when I was doing, you know, a lot of AA, and it would be like guys would be coming to a meeting every day for 30 years, the same place, doing the same thing. And I'd be like, I cannot do that. Will not be me, because that'll, I'm too creative.
Right.
But I still know I need those meetings. They're valuable. So how do I bring these together? You know, so I'm extrapolating and seeing what that will create. But it's like,
you'll do it.
Yeah.
I feel it.
I mean, we're so creative. It's like, this is why we're so good at addiction.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You had to get really, really creative to keep all of that going. Like there's no way. Like I always try to say, you are entrepreneurs. You just like, you know, you don't understand that you can start from nothing and get whatever it is you need. It's like, if you can take that and really bring it into yourself and realize it about yourself, and then apply it to a business, or apply it, which I'm doing that this year, is like applying it to this business and going, oh, I know this part, you know, I know this.
I love that. Yeah. That's it, is applying your energy where it's actually going to generate and create something that you truly desire.
Yes. Yes, for sure. For sure. Man, I knew this was going to be awesome. We've got a lot of comments. We're like live on 6, 2, 4, 6, 8 platforms at the same time.
Oh, really?
Time.
Cool.
Yeah, so we don't actually see everybody that's here in this one space, and so it's we got them everywhere, and they only show us so many comments. But my amazing friend and one of my greatest supports and just sisters in the world, Pamela Topchian, she's always bringing her energy, and she says, thank us both for this important conversation. I think it's so important too, man. I'm so grateful that you're sharing about this and you're walking this path.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I had to get really present with was, okay, what kind of a world do I want to live in? Do I want to live in a world where I empower people to lie to themselves? You know, do I want to live in a world where I show people how to be more unkind to themselves? You know, what do I want to, what kind of a world do I want? And that's where, you know, those, having that kindness with yourself is not about neglecting the hard conversations that you need to have with you. You know, it's not about sugarcoating it, going, okay, being kind to me is about being nice and like avoiding the things that I don't want to. No, you're going to have to fucking dig deep.
Yeah.
You know, and that's still, that still shows up, you know, all the time. That's a constant part of this journey, is recognizing if I'm not being something that I desire to see in the world, I am not being true to me.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Man, I could sit here and talk to you all night. You know,
right, like, we'll have to do another one.
We're going to have to. There's going to be a part two. So be looking for sure. That. I love it. For sure. For sure. Yeah. There's going to be many. So I put all of your, you know, the stuff that you're creating. I love the YouTube channel, man.
Oh, that's you got it. My name's spelled wrong. It's O-N.
O-N. I don't know.
B-R-E-N-D, O-N. So then you, because otherwise that's they won't find my website.
No, yeah. Good. Thanks. I don't know why I misspelled that. Because I probably misspelled it on everything then.
Oh, well.
Never know. But I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad it's live. Because I would have put that out there, man. There it is. So, but I got all of your other, all of your links and everything in the description of this video. Yeah. Oh, and, awesome. You know, and I think everybody can find everything by going to BrendanWatt.com, because, you know, I love the YouTube stuff. I really love the YouTube stuff. And tell us what the podcast is called. You podcast got a podcast called, now?
Yeah. Well, I've had a podcast for years. It's called One Choice from Change. But I've, okay. I'm like looking at that again too. And I'm like, okay, what do I actually want to create with that too? You know, and good. So I'm going to get back into doing the podcast and, you know, just good. Different things and,
good.
And what else is possible.
Yeah, man. I'm so grateful you're out here sharing about this. I just can't tell you that enough, man. Thanks for doing it here.
That is so mutual. I think you're awesome.
Means a bunch. That means a bunch coming from you, man. I have admired you since we first met, and I'm so just grateful. Thanks again. I just can't. I'll just continue to say it. I'll be so grateful.
It is my pleasure. And like I've told you, I'm always here. You got my phone number too. It's like,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So right back at you, man. Like if you ever need anything, just hit me up, reach out. Well, you know,
thank you.
No, just thank you. Thank you for being willing to go through this and share about it and heal and really be so raw and vulnerable, because, you know, it's just so necessary right now. I'm tired of losing people and to hurt, heartache and heaviness and all of that. And there's, you know, thanks for being a light. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody. Until next time. Hey. Before we go, if you're looking for a good hope piece to read, my good friend Pamela's got this book, I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far. Her book and her life, she shares about her healing too. It's a lot like the conversation that Brendan and I have been having here tonight. I mean, it's an amazing book. You can get it on Amazon by going to Amazon.com and type in Pamela Topchian, or you can type in the title. It's an amazing book. Brendan, thank you for all you're doing, man. Thanks for being here. Everybody. Look out for part two.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brendan's coming back. All right. Until next time. Thank you. Thank y'all. If you can do all the stuff, that's great. But I hope that you got something from tonight, and I hope that it can help you start to ask the deeper question and discover what's true for you. This is Brendan Watt, YouTube, brendanwatt.com. Just go hook up with him. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks.